Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Squad, the podcast from the military children's charity Little Troopers. My name's Katie Thistleton. I'm a TV and radio broadcaster and mental health ambassador.
And my name's Tom Smith, and I'm a military child turned professional rugby player.
We have covered loads already so far in this series, and we're only just approaching the halfway point. If you're listening for the first time, though, welcome. This podcast is the place to be if you're a military teenager or child. What have been your highlights so far, Tom?
Most definitely learning about some of the bizarre experiences, for sure. The one that sits in mind is Alfie being sent a giant scorpion from his dad whilst he was on deployment, obviously because I received some spiders through the post as well. And also hearing Brooke open her amazing GCSE results. That was pretty special.
I think that recap just demonstrates how varied the topics that we cover here on Squad are, doesn't it?
It does.
Right, Tom, I've got a question for you. Do you consider me your friend?
Yeah, I do.
You've been very nice there. Thank you. Who is your best friend, though? You're from a military family, so I'm interested to know, like, are your best friends from military families too?
My two best mates aren't actually from military families. So Alex and Simone are what we call civvies.
I'm a civvy too, aren't I?
You are a civvy, yeah. I've got a lot of friends, not to brag.
And so you should have. Do you know what? I feel like every sort of friend that you have, or every sort of little friendship group you have, like, provides something different in your life. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've got my school friends and we've got loads of shared memories, but then actually a lot of my really best close friends now are friends I've met through work, because we just have so much in common and we relate to each other and we're going through the exact same things. So I think that everybody has these different friends who provide something different. You might have, like, your really fun friend. You might have your friend that gives really good advice. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have your friend that you do have loads of memories with. I think we need different friendships for different purposes in our life, don't
we?
Let's talk about relationships in the context of military life, though, because I feel like it must change them. Do you feel like they're better, stronger, more challenging?
I think definitely more challenging. But I think if you come out the other side of them, you have friendships for life. So I've got friends that I can go years without seeing, and then as soon as you meet up, it's like nothing's changed. It's like you saw them yesterday. So I think definitely distance, moving around a lot, affects it. But nowadays with stuff like FaceTime, Instagram, you're pretty much talking every day anyway. So it's definitely more challenging, but it's rewarding at the end of it.
Well, in case you hadn't guessed yet, in this episode, that is exactly what we're going to be talking about. Friendships! And of course, how being from a military family changes them. Shall we meet our special guests?
Let's do it.
You're listening to Squad.
Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for being our special guests on today's episode. It is so nice to have you here. We've got Daisy, we've got Charlotte, we've got Alfie. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, all good.
Good. I'm very pleased that you are. All right. We need to find out a little bit more about you guys. So, Daisy, we're going to start with you. How old are you? Where do you live? And who's in your military family?
I am 13 and I live in Bushy Heath. And in my military family is my dad, my mum, my sister and my dogs.
Oh, tell me more about the dogs, because I'm dog obsessed.
So I've got one Border Terrier. She's about 3 now, but she's quite crazy at the moment.
Oh,
but yeah.
Cute. Love a Border Terrier. Charlotte, what about you?
So I just turned 15. I live near Ely and I live with my mum, dad, brother and pets, and my dad's in the military.
What breed is the dog?
He's a Whippet.
Oh, cute.
And Alfie, what about you?
I'm 15. I'm from Carterton, and in my military family is my dad, my mum, my two sisters and my bunch of pets that we have. I've got two dogs, a tortoise, two guinea pigs, and yeah, that's it.
Before I ask you guys some questions, I've got a question for you, Tom.
Okay.
Would you say that military children and teenagers are particularly good at making friends?
I think they're very well rehearsed at it.
That's a good way of putting
I think that makes them very good at making friends, yeah.
And Daisy, Charlotte, Elfie, what do you think? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we've had to make friends over the years. It's like just comes a bit more naturally now.
Charlotte, tell me a little bit more about that then. What have been your experiences of making friends?
Well, I mean, I've moved all over the place, and so making friends has sort of been a necessity. Otherwise, it'd just be a bit boring just sitting at home alone all the time. I mean, I'm not the most sociable butterfly in the world, but I think I've gotten just more used to opening up to people and just getting myself stuck in there. Once again, like, just livens things up a little bit. And yeah, I think if you just dive in, it definitely becomes a lot easier over the years.
Is that a bit intimidating sometimes,
though? Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, like going to a new school and like knowing nobody, it's really scary. But I think if you're just not like overly confident, but if you're like shy away from people, it's never going to work. So, yeah, just getting in there really helps.
How many different places have you lived? How many different schools?
Well, I think like 8 or 9 schools.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've lived 4 places, so wow. Not too bad.
That's a lot to, you know, you've only just turned 15. Not many people would have lived in that many different places. What about you guys, Alfie and Daisy? How many places have you lived? How many schools have you been to?
So I've lived in only 2 places with the army, which is quite lucky. But I think I've lived in like 7 houses through my life. And then I've only been to 2 schools because I go to boarding school. But I'm just about to start my 3rd school, so that's quite exciting.
What about you, Alfie?
I've moved with my dad being in the RAF like majorly twice to 2 different places, then once in the same place because my family began to foster children. But I've moved into 2 or 3 schools, one across from the top of Scotland all the way down to Oxfordshire. So it was like I knew absolutely nobody.
That's a long way to travel, isn't it? So Tom, that's a bit similar to you, isn't it? The situation that Daisy's in, because you, am I right in thinking that you went to boarding school?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah, so I went to boarding school when I was 9, sort of to provide a bit of stability because there is a lot of moving around usually. So yeah, I'm quite lucky in the regard that I haven't had to move too much, but it's still stressful with Dad moving away and moving to different places. But yeah, I was quite lucky.
So you kind of get a bit of stability. Tom and Daisy, you've kind of had that stability of, I guess, not having to make friends perhaps as frequently as, say, Charlotte has, who has been to so many different schools. Are there any sort of downsides to being at boarding school as well, would you say?
I'm not sure about you. Did you have to give your phone in for 2 weeks and not speak to anyone?
No, it wasn't as strict as that at my school.
Oh, God, I got lucky then.
Everyone needs social media now. We can't take their phones off them.
Yeah, so I had to give up my phone for 2 weeks and not talk to anyone, but that was quite difficult. How did you find it? How was it making friends?
I thought that it was quite good because I had already been to the school since like year 1 before I started boarding a bit later on because then we had to move. But it's still quite hard because you're staying in the same place but then your family is like moving around so you still don't get to see them as much. So sometimes it can be quite hard.
Yeah, so you've got that stability where you've kind of got the same friends, but then you're not going to be seeing your family as much. So it sort of swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Charlotte, how would you say that your experience compares to that? Because I suppose you must be quite often with your family, but you must have to say goodbye to friends, or you've had to say goodbye to friends quite often.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, but we did make the call. I originally didn't want to go to boarding school because I wanted to be at home with, and my dad was very keen to have me at home. And then it was like last year, I think, I wanted to suddenly go into boarding school because for my GCSEs, I was like, I can't move around halfway through my GCSEs. It's just not going to work. But I didn't get into, I got rejected for it. It's because like of the cutoff of the year, something like that. And so, yeah, it's difficult. But saying goodbye to friends, yeah, it's not great. When I was in America, I had to say goodbye to like a lot of friends, and that's because like I wasn't going to see them. I didn't anticipate I'd see them again very soon. But like when you're moving around the UK, it's not as bad. Like I can meet up with them over the summer. Yeah, it's okay. I'm kind of used to it. So I'm a bit numb to it now.
How old were you when you moved to America?
I was 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I feel like? At 7, if you told me I was going to go to an American school, I'd have been like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Because all the TV shows that I watched were set in American schools. But actually, it must be quite different. Is it quite different? Is school in America different to the UK?
It's completely different. Like, I came back and it was like a culture shock coming back. Yeah, I came back like nearly 10, going on 11. And and I was like, oh my God, I have to wear a uniform. I have to do this, I have to do that. And yeah, it was the weather mostly coming back. I was like, oh, I don't fancy this again.
Whereabouts in America were you?
California.
What? Yeah, we're living like the California
it's like the
dream.
To UK.
And is it like it is in TV shows and films?
Pretty much. Yeah.
I love it. So was making friends different then? Like you say, it's a different culture. When you go to different countries, it's a completely different culture. So how was making friends different in the US to how it was over in the UK?
I think
I got there though, and it was just a bit of a novelty. They were like, oh my God, say something. And I was like, okay, where's the bin? And they were like, the what? And I was like, the bin. They're like, oh, you mean the trash can? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, so everyone just wanted to be your friend because you had a British accent most of them. That's good.
Pretty much.
I love that so much. Alfie, did you, I mean, not quite as far, not quite as different a culture moving from Scotland to England to America to England, but was that different? Did it feel very different sort of making friends when you went to your school sort of in the south of England to when you were up in Scotland?
Yeah, it definitely did because, I mean, I've not got the accent anymore, but I used to sound like proper like, because I used to live in Glasgow.
You do still have, I think you still have the accent.
A little one, yeah.
But I used to like properly strong and everyone used to like make fun of me and laugh at me when I came down here. Because where I live, everyone's got like the really like posh, like Cotswold accent.
Yeah.
Compared to when I was in Scotland, it's quite like, it's just completely different.
People understand what you were saying or were they like, what was that?
Yeah, there were some words that people were like, what did you say? And I had to repeat myself slower.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because even just moving like towns, like you could be in the same city and move towns and there are words that are said in really specific bits of the country that aren't said in other places. So yeah, even just moving from Scotland to England, there are going to be so many differences in the sort of slang that you use and the way you say things in your accent. The Scottish accent is great though. Keep it. It's good. I love it.
So Daisy, from my experience going to boarding school, there was only a handful of military children that kind of joined me. What was that like for you? Was there many or was it mainly civilians?
So at my school, it wasn't actually a boarding school, the first boarding school I went to. So there were barely any boarders and there were about five military children. But to me, it didn't really make a difference because I was like friends with everyone. So if they're in the military, I guess it was like a bit easier because we could relate. But yeah, there weren't very many military people boarding at all.
Okay, and were the other children sort of understanding of your situation? Did they know much about military life or?
Well, I think it was quite a shock when they like kind of saw the houses that we had to live in because they're some of them are a bit you know, interesting.
Quarters, yeah.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't really be your friend if they didn't want to be a friend of the house that you lived in.
Totally. Very good point.
What about you, Alfie? Do you have any sport you're into that kind of helped friendships and stuff like that? Or
yeah, I absolutely love playing football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played for an academy.
Awesome.
And then the only problem was when I came down here, there's not really any like academies near me. So it's quite difficult for me to get to places like Oxford that's an hour drive.
Mm.
To go train with all these, like, to try and get myself in these teams, so I kind of have to stay really local.
Okay. What team do you play for at the moment?
I'm playing for Carterton, like, just the local town team at the moment.
Nice. What position?
Centre mid.
Sound a lot better than me. I was put in goal and just ended up crying because I couldn't save anything, so...
Yeah, it's okay because you found rugby now. It wasn't your sport.
Yeah, exactly. I was just the big freak they shoved between the posts and just told to save everything.
Football wasn't your sport. It's a place for everyone. Your place was in rugby. There you go. Sport is a really good way of sort of making friends, isn't it? Like sport and hobbies. Do you girls have any sort of particular hobbies or anything that have kind of helped you make friends?
I do taekwondo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I love my taekwondo and... So yeah, I do that in Wisbeach, and even though I've moved away from Wisbeach, I can still train there, and like one of my best friends goes there, so it's really nice being able to like see her once a week and catch up, and it's nice, yeah.
And also, like if you make friends in those sort of ways, you've already got something in common, even if your life is so different to theirs, because you're a military teenager, you both love taekwondo, so already there's just at least like one thing, isn't there, that you're both really into. What about you, Daisy?
So I do a lot of hockey and running, but I didn't really meet anyone through running because I'm still with my old club. So
also when you're running, you're kind of just doing it on your own.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you can't really make friends because you're not like running and chatting.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. How are you? Yeah, fine. See ya.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know actually because I have no idea how much notice do you get of like a future move? Like, what's the shortest the notice can be? Like, someone says, all right, pack up your life, say goodbye to your friends. Like, how much time do you have to adjust?
The ones we've had have been like a few months. So I've had time to tell them and be like, oh no, don't go. And then I'm like, oh yeah, sorry. It's not really my decision to make.
See ya.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a few months. So it's not too much of a shock.
Does that ever make you feel a bit unstable though? Like you're kind of always waiting for something, like waiting for someone to just pull the rug from under you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Dad still hasn't heard what his posting's going to be and he like finds out tomorrow, and we have not got a clue. And then he might just go, and we're like, okay, we're going to stay where we are, though, so it's all good. But it's constantly on edge. I'm like, if we move again right now, will I stay friends with this person? And quite a lot of the time, because they don't know the military life, and they're like, oh, I haven't seen you in a week, let's meet up. I'm like, I can't, sorry. But I think we'd probably lose touch, and it's sad, but it's reality, really.
What about you, Alfie? Is there anything you particularly prepare for when leaving? Or
no.
Do you just crack on with it like everyone else?
I try to. Last year, about 3 months before September, we were told that we're moving to Lincoln. In about 3 weeks, we'd packed our whole living room up. We'd bought, like, all the stuff for the new house. My dad gets promoted here and finds out that we can stay here.
Oh, brilliant.
So we end up staying here. We had to, like, unpack everything, sell the stuff we didn't want, with all the new stuff, bring that all into this new house, which is the still same house, just with new stuff.
Well, at least you got some new stuff out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
New furniture. Bless you. Do you ever feel like your social lives would be better if you had to move around less? Would you change it if you could?
I'd want to move to somewhere probably bigger than where I live at the moment. It's quite, like, quiet. And it's like, there's a lot of service children, but I'd want to go somewhere where there's, like, a lot of civilian children as well, just so I can understand what that's sort of like as well.
I don't feel like I'd be as sociable. I feel like, obviously, it's not ideal moving around all the time and, like, leaving people behind, but otherwise I'd just be, like, with one group of friends, and I wouldn't have a broad expanse of people that I know. And it just really, like, rounds you out to different cultures, and yeah. I think it's a good in that sense.
I think it's so important in life to just meet so many different groups of people, and it really forms who you are as a person. And, you know, people talk about, like, small town mentality, where you stay sort of in the same place as you've always been, and you just talk to the same friends, and you don't broaden your horizons. And that is something that you guys are never going to be in that situation. You're already not in that situation. You've met so many different people, and I think that just makes you a smarter, more interesting, more inclusive person. I think you know, that is a real silver lining to be seen here with all the difficulties we're talking about. I think it's just going to make you such well-rounded adults with such a good insight on other people and how the world works.
Definitely. Charlotte, I've got a question for you. Do you think leaving friends is a fair trade for your parents' military careers?
Oh, good question.
That's really difficult. I mean, I'm not really, like, pro what I have to do if I could get out of the military. Like, my dad's like, oh, Ollie, join the military, to my brother. And he's like, oh, what about Charlotte? You try. And I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do with the military when I'm older. I don't want to marry into military at all. It's just because I want my children to have the stability. And I think that's something that I've missed out on a little bit. And, like, obviously I wouldn't change it, but it's not ideal, is it?
No, I bet. But I think the skills that you're, like, embedded with, I know at your age, I probably would have struggled coming down to London to speak into a microphone, let alone.
Yeah.
But, like, this is massive, like, coming down, being able to meet people for, like, 2-3 minutes, then have a full-on conversation. I think it's amazing.
Do you know what I used to always worry about as well when I was meeting friends, and even now when I'm, like, making new friends in the workplace and stuff, I always worry that maybe I'm not very interesting. That's something that I really worry about. I don't think you guys will ever have that problem because you've lived in all these different places, you've lived in different countries, you've got all these different stories to tell about your military life. And I think that's one problem you're never going to have. Like, I don't think the conversation will go dry at, like, a party if someone starts chatting to you, because there's a lot of stuff they can ask you and you can talk about.
You're listening to Squad.
Now, I find it hard at the best of times to keep in touch with my friends, and most of my friends live near to where I live, so I can't imagine what it must be like trying to keep in touch with all these different friends in all these different places that you've met throughout your life. Tom, are you any good at keeping in touch with friends that you've moved away from?
I used to be really bad at it. I've
Did
had
you?
To make a conscious effort.
Tom!
To, yeah, I know. I'm grumpy half the time, but I've had to make a real conscious effort to reach out to people, and almost have to be the first person to say, oh, how are you doing? Like, how's that sort of thing, to kind of keep friendships alive?
So if you guys could give, like, one tip for keeping in touch, what would it be?
I think if you're really close friends with the person, you'll keep touch naturally. And if it's becoming ridiculously forced, well, then something's gone wrong on the way, hasn't it?
Love that.
You've shown me up there. Yeah,
that's a great piece of advice.
I'd say just not only just text them, call them, FaceTime them, because text can get really dry over, like, months and months. And if you have, like, let's say you have like a PlayStation or an Xbox and so do they, why don't you just set up one night and you say, why don't we just talk for a while?
And game together and like chat on that. I feel like, you know, and I don't want to sort of stereotype here because this is, you know, girls love gaming too, but I feel like when I look at like my family, that's how the boys keep in touch with their friends more, like through the gaming.
Bit of Call of
whereas
Duty
the girls or, might be more likely to sort of like text each other, whereas the boys are like, yeah, we keep in touch on a game. Do you play Call of Duty, Tom, despite your military background?
Recently, a tiny bit.
Really?
But mainly because, like you said, it's a great way to keep
it's
in touch with people.
It's a good way to keep in touch, yeah.
It's weird because you don't actually talk to anyone. You're just playing with them, but it's still that sort of connection. But no, growing up, I wasn't really massively into games. I kind of steered away from it. I think Mum was quite keen to keep me away from sort of Call of Duty and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I was very outdoorsy when I was younger.
Daisy, what's it like for you, like when you're not at boarding school and you go home? Do you have other sort of like military friends kind of like on patch there? Or do you feel like kind of you have less in common with them than you do your boarding school friends?
My mum's tried really hard to like make me meet all these people, but there's someone on our patch who does like a meetup, and I've met a couple of friends through there. And then, as I said before, I've met one girl who lives just down the road from us, who is military, who goes to my hockey club. But our last patch was quite small, but there were like no people my age, so it was quite hard. But then I was right next to my school, so I could just meet up with school friends as well.
Charlotte, are you still in touch with any of your friends from California?
Yeah, so my friend Susie, that she stayed there. So yeah, we saw her the other day, and we were like reliving the memories and talking about it. And it was really nice to look back at the time that we had together there. And like one of my really close friends out there, Callista, we did track together, and out there we were basically inseparable. And like we kept in touch when I first moved back, and neither of us had phones, so we couldn't like exchange numbers. And she wrote to me like letters, and I sent them back. And it's just stopped, and I'm quite sad about it. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, oh, I wish I could like message her again, but I've lost her address. So I'm like, oh.
Not
really. Can't really. But yeah, it was really nice keeping in touch with her. And I think if we saw each other again, it would come back because we were so close.
So during the last 2 years of the pandemic, everyone sort of had to learn new ways of living, adapting. Do you think you were well equipped for that due to military life?
Not really. It did come as a bit of a shock, but not seeing people didn't come as hard to me.
Mm-hmm.
But like my best friend, Amelia, she lived next door to me while we were living on base at RAF Marham. And so we were like really close because of how many similarities we had. Well, we are still. But yeah, so we could go on walks every day, and that just made us grow even closer. And it was really nice having somebody there that you could just see, even though despite the pandemic, we could just go on a walk every day after school online. And it was just quite refreshing. Yeah.
I suppose everybody had to get used to communicating with their friends and family, sort of FaceTime, social media, all that kind of thing. But you would have already been well equipped at doing that anyway. You were like, oh, I was doing this anyway.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I just was probably just more on social media, talking to more people and FaceTiming all my friends. And yeah, it's difficult, obviously, because the pandemic wasn't a great time. But I felt like just doing the stuff that I'd already been doing, except football. I did miss my football for like a year and a half. But I felt like I was genuinely quite equipped for it.
Okay, now we always like to end each episode on a good note, and we do that by sharing some advice and tips with each other and our listeners. So Tom, you're 21 years old now. What is your top tip for navigating friendships when you're a military kid?
The main one is making an effort. Just reaching out. Don't be afraid to be the first one to kind of build that bridge and just check up on people. I think that's the main one.
What about you, Daisy?
I would just say that if you're finding it hard to like make friends, or if you're at boarding school like me and it's hard not seeing your family, just make sure that you keep in touch. And also there's like a lot of ways now that you can keep in touch. So it's not like letter writing and everything. It's just you can send them a quick message just to make sure that they're okay.
Charlotte?
I think in terms of like just making the friends in the first place, you've really just got to put yourself out there. There's no blunter way of putting it, to be honest. If you don't make yourself available to them, then they won't to you. And with time comes experience and stuff. And like by the time I'm 18, I reckon I'll have like a million and one friends. I won't know what to do with myself, but it's a good position to be in.
Alfie?
I'd say just expand your friendship group as big as possible and meet as many people as you possibly can, because these people are always going to be there if you need them.
Amazing. Now, that is great advice from all you guys. And we know that I'm a total civvy, but I do have some advice I want to share about making teenage friendships work and making them last into adulthood. I would say, first of all, just stay out of any drama. I always just stayed out of any fallouts at school. Like, I was the one who just got on with everyone. And it is a much easier life if you do that. And especially if you're going to be moving around and stuff. You don't want to be falling out with people. You've not got time. You've only got time to have fun. You haven't got time for all the drama. And I would also say, look out for the radiators, not drains. So the people that make you feel great. So when you leave them, you leave their company, you just feel like you're really happy. And maybe stay away from the people who drain you and make you feel the opposite of that when you've been around them. And just really prioritise those people that make you feel good. And on that note, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much to Daisy, Alfie and Charlotte for chatting to us on today's squad. Thank you, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
And thank you to you for listening as well. We'll be back with a brand new episode soon. But in the meantime, please follow and subscribe to Squad wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to Squad, brought to you by the charity Little Troopers and produced by TBR Media. To find out more about the work they do supporting the children of the British Armed Forces, visit www.littletroopers.net.